just so good. And I have been marinating in it again, in his goodness. And before I give my testimony, I want to say that I want to do everything that God wants me to do. I'm going to fulfill my purpose in him. And in doing so, based on what Bob told me a few days ago, weeks ago, I just want to make a declaration in song, just a small snippet of a song. But it says, my soul loves Jesus. Hallelujah. I know we're not supposed to say hallelujah. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then it said, he worketh to my wonder. He worketh to my wonder. He worketh to my wonder. Bless his name. Hallelujah. And you know, I told Deacon Dan about 2 weeks ago. Deacon Dan, he said at the Eucharist, and you need to put a pin in the fact that it was Eucharist. And he and I were here alone. And he said, do you need prayer? I said, well, I'm not necessarily asking for prayer at this time, but I do have a concern. And I told him that my daughter in Chicago had been diagnosed with 3 lumps in her breast, in her left breast. And I said, you know, she doesn't have a support system up there like she would have here. And I just began to talk to the Lord. You know, old people, the old saints, used to believe in miracles. And I said, now, God, you know she don't have anybody up there. Now, that's just how I talk to the Lord. Not all the time with grammatical correctness. And I said, now, and I began to think about the 3 children here. I said, well, I guess I have to shuffle things around because I got to go. I said, Lord, you know I got to be there. And I said, but you could give me a miracle, Lord. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You can give me a miracle. Because you said that in your name and through your name and by your name, every name must bow.
Yes.
And I say, God, breast cancer is a name. It has a name. And it has to bow.
Amen.
And I need a miracle. Hallelujah. Well, I came to Eucharist last Thursday. And I registered the same concern Thursday, but it went a little deeper. I asked for prayer. And everyone prayed for me. And then Lori told Father to anoint my hands. He said, well, her daughter is in Chicago, and the other daughter is in New Orleans. And Lori said, well, there's no distance. There's no distance. And then I began to think about the fact that God is all-powerful, hallelujah. He's all-knowing, and he is forever present. And that means in Alabama and Chicago and everywhere else. And I say, God, I need that miracle. Now, what I didn't tell you in Eucharist was, on that very day, she was scheduled to go into the doctor, which she did. And they had already they were going to discuss with her what type of surgical procedure they were going to take and what type of therapy she would have to have. You didn't know that. I didn't tell you that. But I was saying, God, I need a miracle. Well, she said, when she called me that afternoon, I said, Megan, what happened? She said, well, Mama, she said, they took a new mammogram and say they didn't see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She said, Mama, she said they didn't see. Hallelujah. What they thought they saw. They say they saw just what women get sometimes, you know, a little cyst, and say it was granular. And that they just want me to come back in 6 months for them to check it out. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
hallelujah. Amen. I mean, Amen. He worked a wonder. And I just, that's just my testimony this morning. Amen. You know, the scripture says that there's a commercial. And this attorney says, if you got any legal problem, he said, call me, Alabama.
He does. He sure does.
But you know what? In God's word, he says, call and I will answer.
That's right.
And then he went one step above that. He said, yet while you're calling, I'll answer.
That's right.
You see, because he knows all about us. He's ever knowing, ever present. Hallelujah. And all powerful. So guess what? While we were calling, he was answering. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe we need to do testimonies before the songs of praise.
Before Melinda says anything, could we just take a moment? And you can stay seated if you want, but I'm going to invite you to stand. If you want to stand, just do that for a moment for us, everybody. Okay. So Shirley, I just ask if you could just say a prayer, if you could give her the microphone back, and just pray for anyone who has any family member who has a need right now. If you could just intercede and pray, and just pray that the Lord would touch any family member of anyone in here, just like the Lord touched your daughter. Praise to you, Lord. So just before you pray, just think through if there's anyone that you're interceding for. Maybe a family member, it may be a friend, maybe a neighbor, maybe a coworker. If you could just bring that to mind and just offer them up as Shirley says this prayer.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Let me preface this and say this is something new for me. But God, hallelujah. We're working in your plan. You know all about us. You know our down sitting and our uprising.
Amen, Lord.
You know
Amen.
Everything that concerns us and everything that we're concerned about. And I'm asking now that you, with your mighty hands of mercy and grace, hallelujah.
Amen, Lord.
That you go into each one's household. You look at every family member, God. And God, you look at us because you know what goes on with us. Whether it be an illness in our body, whether our mind is all confused, because God, you come to bring peace. And you say that you're not an author of confusion, but of peace,
Amen.
Love, and a sound
Amen.
Mind.
Amen.
And we ask that you look, God, and that you search the deep and dark things, God. And that you heal us, God. Because you say by your stripes, we were healed. We are healed. And we claim it right now in the name of Jesus. In your mighty name, God. We ask that you move, God. That you touch. And that you satisfy and bring comfort to our souls right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Okay, if you'd like to just go ahead and sit down and then.
Well, y'all, this is sort of similar. When I came in here this morning a little early, I asked the Lord to show me where to go in His Word. And He gave me the most wonderful word. And I thought it was just for me, but now I'm thinking it's for all of us. Psalm 116. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk up with the Lord in the land of the living. It's a statement of faith for all of us, for healing, for joy, and for His mercy.
Amen.
Back this summer, I shared different words the Lord had given me for different individuals, and He continues to give me different words. So for those who are here, Tammy, He has said that you are faithful, true-hearted, and trustworthy.
Amen.
Teresa, you are blessed, endowed with divine favor and protection.
Amen, Jesus.
And Barb, you are an abandoned one of His, unrestrained, uninhibited. And we see that in you as you worship Him, holding nothing back from Him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise to you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Well, you know, Scripture says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when it says the love of God, that's not just a hug from the Father to the child, which we are children of God. That love of God is broader than that. That's healing, it's restoration, it's strengthening, it's equipment, many, many other adjectives. I had a word I feel like the Lord was saying for Portia, but it could be for other people too. There are either spiritual or natural world difficulties that you seem to be coming against. And the Lord says, as you keep pressing into Him, those difficulties, those roadblocks will erode. You know, like water slow, either water slowly erodes a wall, the wall comes down, or, you know, a big wave comes and obliterates a sandcastle on the beach. You know, I don't know how it's going to happen, but the Bible says that nothing separates us from the love of God, and He'll take care of it. Anybody else?
Yeah. So, Tammy, I believe the Lord has given me a word for you, and as always, it's, you know, see if it resonates. What I believe I was hearing was to do with some fears that you, that just kind of hang around and at times can almost seem overwhelming and can at times almost seem to be picking at you, and it's like getting poked and you look this way and you get poked and you look another way, and it sometimes can just weary you, tire you. And what I was hearing for you was the Lord is building a hedge of protection around you. Okay? And that even some of these fears have to do with future things. That there is some dread about that. And where I was drawn was to Joshua, where the Lord says to Joshua, not to fear nor be dismayed, for I'm with you wherever you go. And it was that sense that Joshua needed to hear that because there were some fears. And what the Lord was telling him is, everywhere you put your foot, I've already gone before you. Okay? Does that speak to you? Okay. So I just want that sense of really resting in the fact that the Lord is putting a hedge of protection around you, and they will begin to dissipate, and just to embrace that. And even when you receive the Eucharist today, let that go to that deep place, that deep, deep place. Amen. Jennifer, I believe the Lord had given me a word for you, and it was the Lord was showing me is you're like Mary of Martha and Mary, that sitting at the Lord's feet, and the Lord says to you, you've chosen the better part. And the Lord wants to take you to a place to reveal more and more of his heart to you, to reveal more and more of his heart and his tenderness, because he says to you, my daughter, you've made the better choice. Amen.
You remember the word I gave you guys? The Lord said, I want you to remind them that that word is powerful, and he wanted to add a little bit to it. He wanted to tell you that back to back, moving forward, that things were getting out of your way as you were moving ahead. But what I saw today was a stronger and greater force around you that extended way beyond what was. And the Lord said, you don't have to see it. You don't have to know it. Just trust me that I'm doing that through your lives this day. Seemed like it was something about family, but also it was about strangers. People that you don't even know that you pass. There is something happening in their lives as you encounter them.
More excitement, you have to have, yeah. You need to be able to connect more with movies. If that's the case, that's how you're going to get up there. So. Well, maybe I can have somebody else do that then. Can I get somebody to read that first reading again from Isaiah? That Isaiah 35, 1 to 10. Want to read real loud? Yeah. I think that's what it was, wasn't it? First reading? Yeah.
Be glad, you thirsty desert, and rejoice exceedingly, and let the desert blossom as a lily.
Okay, stop. Okay, so just to think of this image, and as we're hearing this word proclaimed, remember about the whole reason that the word becomes proclaimed in our midst, as opposed to you opening and reading it. The reason it becomes proclaimed in our midst is because it's being fulfilled in our midst. Okay, the distance is collapsed between ourselves and the word. So when Isaiah got that prophetic word centuries and centuries ago, we're hearing it again proclaimed in our midst. And the moment we hear it proclaimed in our midst, the distance between ourselves and that word gets collapsed. And now we're hearing that word proclaimed in our midst. And to what extent do we allow that word then to enrapture us and enfold us with what it is that the Lord wants to say? Remember when Jesus goes into the synagogue at Nazareth, after he comes out of the desert during that time of temptation, and it said he comes in the power of the Spirit, goes to the synagogue at Nazareth, opens up, he's given the scroll from Isaiah, he begins to read from Isaiah 61, and says, today this passage is fulfilled in your hearing. So another way of taking that is to say, today, on Gaudet Sunday, Joyful Sunday, this passage is being fulfilled in our hearing. So what we would want to be able to pray for is, Lord, please give me ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand your word that's being released right here, right now, that you tell us goes forth from your presence, accomplishing the work for which it has been sent, not to return to you void, Isaiah 55. So when the Lord releases his word, it goes forth to accomplish the work for which it's been sent. Think of Shirley's prayer for all of us this morning. It's a word that was released. It's a word that gets released to go forth to accomplish the means for which it has been sent, not to return unto the Lord void. Okay? So to think about the fact that if you can identify, or maybe right now, but if you've ever felt like a thirsty, dry desert, and to think that the Lord's speaking something about that area that may be in your life, that may be very present, or it may be somewhere in the background, but in any area in your life that you have felt that there is maybe a dryness or a hardness or an emptiness or a need, whatever that be, okay?
The desert places of the Jordan shall blossom abundantly and rejoice exceedingly. The glory of Lebanon and the honor of Carmel shall be given to it, and my people shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God.
Okay, stop. So remember, when we hear a prophetic word, the prophetic word is either about the future, it's about the present, or it's about the past. So a word may be spoken that all of a sudden the Lord is taking care of something that happened back there. Or the Lord is dealing with something with you right now in the present. Or the Lord is giving you a trajectory to say what he's going to do in the future. Got that? So it's this prophetic word that Isaiah is receiving, that he's giving, that it's all about what the Lord is going to do. Okay, keep going.
Be strong, you relaxed hands and feeble knees. Be comforted, you faint-hearted. Be strong, do not fear. Behold, our God renders judgment and will render it. He will come and save us. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened.
Okay, stop right there. One more time. So that whole notion of fear, anxiety, worry, doubt, dread, foreboding. Anybody ever felt that? You know? The whole idea of the promise, and see, what I think of is someone hearing that and being able to maybe do something like this. He knows my situation. He knows what's going on. He knows at times when I may try to really put up a good front, but the fact of the matter is my knees are shaken a little bit. He may know that I may put up a good front, and even like the whole image of shaking somebody's hand, like really giving a, you know, a good old hard handshake, but what's really going on the inside is anything but that. I don't feel that on the inside. And so it's this whole thing of where the dryness has been, or where the fear or whatever that has been, that the Lord is addressing that. The Lord is talking about that he's doing something like that, okay? So it's a word picture of you being able to say, how does the Lord see us? How does the Lord see you? And it's not that we're all broken wings. It has nothing to do with that. But it has to do with the Lord looks at areas that he knows needs to finally come back to life or come to life for the first time. Okay, keep going.
Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall hear. Then the lame shall leap like a deer.
Okay, stop right there. Can you think of any scripture passage? I'm not going to deal with the blindness or the deafness right about. Can you think of any scripture passage where someone was healed and they began to leap and jump and praise? You may not have chapter and verse, but can you recall any passage?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Peter and John in the... Yeah, it's that guy that was... Right, so he jumped up, he was lame, and he was walking and leaping and praising, okay? So now you have You have a prophetic word about something that's going to happen in the future, and all of a sudden you have the testimony of Scripture. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So now you have a testimony that Isaiah is saying that, and then all of a sudden you can jump forward to the Acts of the Apostles and say, oh, my Lord, that's a concrete example of that word that just got fulfilled there. So if that word got fulfilled right there at that moment, is there a possibility that that word could be fulfilled right here, right now, in this moment? Where a person may feel lame, actually physically lame, but also may feel that way spiritually or psychologically, maybe financially. All those ways to feel, I feel lame, and there's that word that says the lame will all of a sudden jump up and leap. Make sense? Okay, keep going.
Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall speak clearly, for water shall burst forth in the desert, and a valley in the thirsty land.
Okay, can you think of any passage in Scripture where the Lord makes mention to anybody about water bursting forth? The woman at the well. Remember that? Where she is in this dialogue and asks, the whole thing. And then Jesus said, if you knew who it was asking you for a drink, you would have asked him. And what would happen is fountains of water would begin to burst out of you. Okay? And it's almost like you look at that and you think, man, what an invitation that the Lord Jesus is giving to be able to say, if you would ask me for a drink, I would give you a drink. I would let you drink from the well of salvation. I would let you drink from me if you ask. I won't force it on you. I won't make you. But if you would ask and begin to take that in, there would be these fountains that would begin to emerge out of you. All of a sudden, looking at that and saying, I think I would like that, because sometimes I feel so dumb about being able to not know what to say, what to speak. And sometimes the words that come out of my mouth, what if those words aren't life? But what all of a sudden, what starts to come out is this fountain of life, and the words that come out of my mouth, the words that come out of my life, have to do with this bursting forth of life. It bursts forth this hope, because I realize this desert is getting filled up and it's getting nourished. There's another time in John chapter 7 where Jesus talks about those who would come to him, there would be rivers of living water that would begin to burst forth. Any idea when that's about to take place? If you look at that passage, it means the whole thing of Pentecost. You still with me? Okay, keep going.
The waterless desert shall become meadows, and a thirsty land springs of water. There will be a gladness of birds, a habitation of reeds and marshes. A pure way shall be there, and it shall be called a holy way. No unclean man shall pass through there, neither shall there be an unclean way there. But those dispersed shall walk in it, and they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous animals go up on it, nor at all be found there, but the redeemed shall walk in it. And those gathered by the Lord shall return and come to Zion with gladness, and with everlasting gladness over their head. For praise and exceeding joy will be on their head, and gladness shall possess them. Pain, sorrow, and sighing fled away.
So with that few little things that I said, but as you hear this proclaimed a second time, how do any of you hear that? Does anybody have a response? How any of you just heard where Deacon Robert proclaimed it first and then Lori just proclaimed it? I made a couple of side comments. Anybody?
What already takes place in what God has planned for his people. For example, I just whispered over to Cassia, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be wild beasts to life. They're going to be there, but the Lord is clearly going to distinguish something visible and powerful that people are going to understand, that the glory of the Lord is manifest.
Amen. Anybody else give an amen to that? And see, every one of us can take that word and let it go to some place in our life and to be able to see maybe something begins to bubble up, some kind of an amen that begins to bubble up with this word that just got proclaimed in our midst, right? So in the gospel today, when John the Baptist sends some of his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one?" And we all heard that gospel proclaim, but how it is that Jesus answers that question. He says, "Go back and tell John this." See, what he's going back and telling John, "Do you realize, John, there are that voice crying in the wilderness, and you are the last and the greatest of the great prophets, that all the prophetic words that have been given down through the centuries are ultimately climaxed in you, as you are the one who is preparing for the coming of the Christ. And all those words that have been given are in the process of becoming absolutely actualized and fulfilled in Christ." And so Jesus tells John, and you think about that, he could have said anything to him, but he says, "Go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. The deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, those who are demonized are set free. The poor have the good news preached to them, given to them," which doesn't mean just economically. It means anyone who's poor in spirit. "And blessed is the one who is not scandalized, is not offended, does not trip over what it is that I'm doing, because they try to change the script." Stick with the program. Stick with the program. Don't reinvent the gospel. Amen. Don't reinvent what we're sent to do. Don't try to put it within your own rational reasoning. Look at what it is that he tells John, tells the disciples, "Go back and tell him, this is what you see and hear," because Jesus is fulfilling everything that Isaiah said, and he's fulfilling that psalm. Jesus is doing that. And he says, "That's what I'm about." Now, are we to be about doing any of that? You want to share what you shared with us this morning in there? You didn't know I was going to do that, did you? Where's that microphone?
I was out running errands yesterday, and I was going to the grocery store, and I was listening to the radio in the car. I just happened to be listening to a Catholic radio station. I think it's 97.9. And there was a radio show on there called Beyond Damascus, and it was two young guys talking, and they were sharing about how they would go out and pray for strangers on the spot, pray with people in public on the spot. And they were also talking about people getting healed of cancer. And it was a very striking thing for me to hear on a Catholic radio station, because you don't always hear that. But we're in our group, we're fairly familiar with that from being around the bishop and other people. So,
can you believe those Catholics? I mean, they've got nerve, don't they, out there doing that? I mean, who do they think they are, right? I mean, good heavens. You know, that's supposed to be charismatic people, you know, baptized, you know, that's all, you know, what are they doing that kind of stuff? You know? So, could I get somebody to read Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, just real quick?
Sword drill.
And I should know how to speak the word and ear.
Okay, Veronica, can you start
to
over?
To hear me, to learn. It's so good. What verse was it again?
Verse 4.
The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away.
So that is the fourth suffering servant song. There's four suffering servant songs in the book of Isaiah that speak about Jesus fulfilling. That comes from the fourth suffering servant song. So it talks about what Jesus is saying, that, and he'll say this in John, that he only says what he hears the Father saying, and he only does what he sees the Father doing. And in this prophetic word that Isaiah was given is the Lord has a well-trained tongue to be able to speak a word to he or she who is weary in season. And his ear is always attentive unto the Father. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's really cool. To be able to say the Lord knows how to speak a word of comfort to one who may be weary. And he knows how to do that because he knows how to listen. And you think when he gave that answer to the disciples of John, go back and tell John this. Go back and tell John this. This is what he needs to see and to hear. And when John heard that, I have no doubt that I would think he must have absolutely become elated. Yes, you are the one. You are the one, because that's what has been prophesied that the one will do. So if I could ask somebody to read one more passage, Ephesians 4, 29. Anybody have it? We need to move the microphone over. Where's it? Over here. Okay.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
I'm going to read it one more time.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers.
Have you ever had a word spoken to you, or that you've heard a word that was spoken about you that hurt you? Or you thought, that's not fair, or that's not true? And so when Paul's writing to the Ephesians, he's just saying, make sure when you use your tongue and your vocal cords to say something, remember Jesus. He has a well-trained tongue, and he knows how to speak a word in season anyone who is weary. So it's kind of like saying an invitation. Don't add to somebody's weariness. It's like, be circumspect. Be careful how it is that we speak and what it is that we say. And in our culture right now, there is this kind of freedom that we almost have to say, we can say pretty much anything we want about anybody, anywhere, anytime. And what if for Christians we look at that and say, maybe this is being a little dramatic, but that's a lie from the pit of hell. An absolute lie from the pit of hell. To think that I have the freedom or the right to say a word that adds to anybody's weariness. I'm really going to potentially step on some toes as I say this. I've heard Christians talk about the sitting president right now with such words of vitriol as Christians, and to say, I think the scriptures invite us to pray for those who are in positions of leadership, not to curse them. And then from there, we move to other places. And that doesn't mean whether or not you voted for him or doesn't voted for him. That's not what I'm referring to. But it has everything to say to all of a sudden collapse that distance and to say, I want to be careful, more circumspect about what it is that comes out of my mouth. To be careful. Some of these words that were spoken today, some of these prophetic words, and maybe any individuals who receive those words, I suppose it might be fair to ask them, did that comfort you? And if it did, then to look at that and go, man, oh man, I'm so glad, I'm so grateful. And to think that we're carriers of that, to be able to do that. And to recognize that we have that ability to do what the Lord Jesus has done, because he sends us out to do that, right? To bring sight and hearing and freedom and life over and over and over again. So I want to conclude with one last scripture passage. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. If anybody could read that one. Anybody have it? Raise your hand if you do so Jason can come and give you the... I can see I can just hear all those pages just...
What was it? I missed what you said.
1 Thessalonians 5:19.
You got it, Stace, or you got it? Okay.
Do not quench the spirit.
Maybe I got the wrong one. Try 18 then.
Give thanks in all circumstances, no. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
So try 19 again.
Do not quench the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, what verse 20? Is that? Okay, 20, sorry.
Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil.
Okay. And Melinda, read yours too, real loud.
It was the same verse, but it's a little different. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good.
So let me just conclude with this. When we hear about, you know, don't have contempt for prophecy or don't despise prophecy, sometimes that can be understood as to say, you know, if you're not willing to really go out and pursue the prophetic, then you're being naughty. But what if it means something else? What if part of what it means is that if we hear a prophetic word, and all of a sudden that prophetic word that we have heard, it seems like it hasn't come to pass yet. The word hasn't come to pass yet. And maybe we've heard that word, and then maybe someone else has given a word similar to that and go, yeah, I got a word like that before, back then. But, you know, it didn't seem like it had any fruition. It didn't seem like it came to pass. And so I'm not really sure how to think about this anymore. Are you with me so far? Because I've heard this word, and it's kind of like, okay, I've heard that word. That's a nice-sounding word, but I want to test it. And as I test it, I've got to test it by the fact that I don't see it having come to pass. And what if despising prophecy more has to do with the fact that maybe what I'm being called to do when I get a particular prophetic word is the depth of that prophetic word may also be a barometer for the resistance that I'm going to come against. And so what I need to do is to be willing to push through and to know that that word proclaimed like Isaiah way back then will come to pass. And so my part is not to be grumbling, James, not to be impatient, James, but instead to say, that was the word of the Lord. And maybe that word I heard was a future word as opposed to a present or past. Maybe that was a future word of what it is that the Lord is doing. And instead of all of a sudden me, because of I haven't seen it come to pass, can begin to develop a certain degree of frustration and almost contempt and despise it because I don't know that I even believe that anymore because I haven't seen it happen yet. And so all of a sudden it's an invitation to stir that up and to realize God knows the desert areas in our life that he wants to bring. And so he spoke that word. And that word is still there because it's gone forth from his mouth, from his presence. Because he knows how to speak a word. He knows how to speak a word in season to anyone who is weary. It's gone forth from him to fulfill that which it has been sent, not to return to him void. And for our part is to hear that and to say, Lord, I repent if I have continued to doubt. And all I want to do, and that's not to create any guilt or shame or condemnation, but Lord, in this joyful Sunday, help me hear that and let go of that which I think has not come to pass and recognize that if it was a word, I have to trust the fact that you want to bring that to fruition. See, hope is future. Expectation is anticipating something getting released. Hope and expectation are different. So I just want to leave with you the possibility as we hear this today is to say that, God, every word that is proclaimed in our midst is a word that I want to be able to hear and to take in and to know you have the desire to fulfill everything that you have spoken. And that word from Isaiah today was a word that the Lord wants to continue to bring to life in us. Into life to those people that surely prayed for or that you may brought up to mind. And if we may see that we're not seeing that breakthrough yet, does that mean that it must not have been? As opposed to saying, wait a minute, but what if it is? And what if that word was a profound enough word that I misjudged the level of resistance that would come against that, and therefore I keep pressing on. Does that make sense to you? Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you.